Welcome to Ever Increasing Word Training Center. We're so happy to be back with you this week as we continue the lessons on the culture of honor. It is such a joy to have an understanding of what we're involved in and what we're connected to so we can experience the full benefits and the joy of our connection and understand that we're a large family, not just at your local church, but around the world. Apostle Thompson is grooming us and training us for global outreach, global ministry from the apostolic perspective of heaven to earth government, making you and I pioneers in the kingdom and how effectively we can affect the world with the kingdom of God. I believe that those of you who are connected to the school of training here at Ever Increasing Life ministry, Ever Increasing Word ministry, that you are profound, elite sons and daughters of God who would experience the supernatural realm of God manifestation in the earth. How God would use you in your purpose and in your creative purpose in the earth realm. Today, as we enter into the closing part of a training and teaching here in this month, we want to focus in on moving forward to the scripture. I think that we have done a thorough job of dealing with the unpunishable, that we are unpunishable. And so therefore, we want to move further in the book to get more depth into the book, our understanding our culture. You've already gone through training dealing with the mindset of the poor, the middle class, and the rich. And I pray that you've been blessed by those teachings and empower you to understand why you have to think the mind of Christ living inside of you, God's plan, how God wants to use you, and why God wants you to be rich, why God wants to empower you with wealth. Because through wealth, we can do a lot of good deeds for the kingdom of God. We can do more of what we are called to do. But the Bible says that we will do greater works than that which you have done. I don't believe it's a greater quality of work, but more of the quality of work that God has called us to do in all the earth. So we want to move forward. So stick with me because we're moving through the book. So I want you to turn your attention to page 153. And this is what we're going to pick up at the last paragraph. As we was talking to you in one of the trainings before our last teaching, we talked about creating a safe place, about leadership. We're on chapter 6, and we're talking about the freedom that God has given us in leadership, the focus of leadership, to create a safe place in the community or the culture. Not a place where we're punishable or condemned, judged so rashly by legalism, but we are free to grow. We're free to develop in our walk with God and who God has created us to be. And this is why it's vital that we have a safe environment so we can learn and experience the power, the presence of God in our lives. Each one of us are unique. We're called to distinctive works. Some are the same and some of them are very distinctly different, but the same Spirit has called us into it. So we need to understand this freedom of our culture. Now, on page 153, the beginning last paragraph here, where he talks about the difficulty in leading free people. And this is always a challenge for pastors and leaders because people are free and they have the right of choice. They are free and the right of choice is given you. People can choose to serve, come to church, be a part of what's going on, or they can choose not to be a part of it. But this is the power of us learning to be in charge, but not control it. God has never designed leadership to control you, but to empower you. They're there to cover you, so that you may walk in the liberty of the Spirit of Christ Jesus, which you've been set free in, and yet not hurt yourself or destroy others in your experience, but to help direct you in that experience. And sometimes your covering seems to be controlled, but they are not controlled. They are trying to make sure that you're safe in the environment, that you don't do harm to yourself and do harm to other people, because that can be detrimental. When people get hurt, and when one of the worst hurts you can experience is getting hurt in religion or church, because it's supposed to be the place of safety, it's supposed to be a place of mercy, it's a place of grace, it's a place of peace and rest and restoration. And when you go in there and you get judged and condemned, not convinced or convicted about something, but condemned about it, it can be one of the greatest hurts you can experience, where you're angry with God, you're angry with leadership, and you won't have nothing to do with Christianity, period, because of your church wound or hurt or how the church dealt with the issue that you are dealing with. So we want to talk about and focus in this segment of our teaching in chapter 6 on page 153, the last paragraph. This is our first question as we begin this lesson. The difficulty in leading free people is risk. Make a note of that. Number one, the difficulty in leading free people is risk. And again, that is based upon the freedom of choice that the individual possesses, that God has given to all of us. The freedom of choice, which cannot be controlled, may be guided, but not controlled. This is what it says. The risk that they would use their freedom the wrong way. The abuse of your freedom is what leadership is to cover you and protect you and guide you from, so that you won't destroy yourself or cause harm to others. That's the risk that leadership risks when it's leading free people. Because free people have choice. They have choice, not control. Inspiration is what we do. We inspire, and we hope that the believer will receive the instruction, the importation, and follow his direction. At the same time, the believer can choose to reject his direction and importation and choose to do a different action. And so that becomes the risk of leading free people, because we're free and no longer slaves. We're free and no longer sons who are bound. We're free sons and daughters in the kingdom of God. So our first question again is, the difficulty in leading free people is risk, because we don't want people to use their freedom in God to abuse or the wrong way. Now, Paul made a statement in the scriptures where he made a statement that all things are free to me, but I would not be bound by any. Meaning I have liberty, but I would not use my liberty as a cloak to choke my own self or to abuse my freedom or my liberty that God has given me, because I'm free. Because I'm walking under the grace of God. I have the mercy or the forgiveness of God from sin. Because I'm, again, unpunishable. So I'm not going to use the grace of God to frustrate the grace of God while abusing it to walk in error or something that God did not call me to do, or to do something that God did not call me to do. And so I've got to begin to make sure that I'm not abusing my liberty in Christ Jesus. Just because I'm a Christian and I may meet a sinner, I'm not to abuse my freedom in God to abuse him or condemn him because he's a sinner. Remember, I once was there. You once was there also. It's God who died for us to set us free and not people. God did not make me a judge. So I'm grace driven, grace forgiven. So I can't become people's judge and condemn people because they live in sin. Even though I know it's wrong to do, and I know it's to their detriment, I must not become their judge and jury and hangman. No, God is the God who judges all men, not us. So I don't want to use even that liberty, because I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, to abuse other people because they are not. So I have to be very careful in this liberty that you and I have, because we can easily abuse it. He said, but unlike God, many of us in the church do not understand why the risk is worth it. I love this. This is it. He said, like us who are in church, we're not like God. why would God even take the risk of creating somebody and then give them the power of choice, the freedom to choose, to even choose to disobey him? It's a choice. To not to serve him, not to accept him as your creator, and he is, he risks the rejection that you and I could do even to himself. So God believed and knew that the risk was worth it to give us a free will, to make us a free people. And he was willing to receive the rejection from a free people who refused to worship their creator. Boy, that's some love. That is some mercy. That is some grace. That's sovereignty. The sovereignty of God to do such a thing, to know that he's God regardless of the creation, rejects him. The Bible says he came to his own and his own rejected him. To you and me on the human side, that has to be a hurting situation. For our sons that we don't birth, our daughters we birth, to give them instruction and they refuse to obey the instruction that we give them after all that we've done, and we cannot even use all that we've done to raise them, provide for them, to protect them, to give them the best of everything we can give them, we can't even use that to say, that's why you should reject what I'm telling you. Look what I've done for you. We can't even use that. So God will not even use all that he's done being God and his sovereignty against our free will. But yet God thought it was worth creating us with one, even if it meant rejecting of himself. That's the love that you and I got to understand, that we walk in his culture. So we cannot allow, because we, 2 Corinthians 12, where Paul talks about the love, he talked about the love of God. 2 Corinthians 12, he talked about the love of God, and then what is love? After I give my body to be born, I give it to the poor, and I've done this, and I've done that. He said, then, what is love then? So we cannot use, as Christians, be very careful that we don't use, because we've done good deeds to our people, and because people reject us after all you've done for them, you cannot use that against them, because they still have the freedom of choice. That has to be understood. This is why this environment, the culture of honor, is a grace, love, and forgiving culture. Because we have to understand that even as pastors have done, poured into people and poured into them for years, and they decide to leave the ministry, they go somewhere and say, well, my time is up, pastor. I've been God leading me somewhere else. We cannot become bitter and angry at that and say, man, I done poured years of labor and love into you, loving on you, helping you get established, and you're going to walk away from this. See, that becomes control because we used our liberty as a cloak. That becomes control. We can't do that. God doesn't do it. Neither can you and I. So whether it's a marriage, whether it's kids, a business partner, whatever, you cannot bring up all the good that you've done to control them, to make them stay or make them choose what you think they ought to choose. We can't do it. That's the power of our liberty. Number two, he says, the threat of misused freedom looms larger than the prize of true freedom. The threat of abused freedom looms larger than the prize of true freedom. See, it's so easy to abuse it, to go the wrong way with it. That's why the apostolic, the prophetic, the evangelist, pastor, and teacher office, that grace anointing that's over us for direction, correction, and protection is so necessary, because it's so easy to abuse our liberty in God and bring people under punishment and judgment and legalism instead of people walking in their freedom. So they don't walk in their freedom of choice in their liberty in the things of God. So we have to be careful, because it can easily happen to leadership. It can easily happen to any member of the church, a husband or wife, or a co-worker or partner who's a Christian, and we can walk out of grace because we want to tilt on the side of what all we've done to help people. You can't do that. You can't get in the corner after it's over with, man. I done this for this woman. I done this for this brother. And stuff, man, they done did this and they done that. And we hold those kind of conversations. See, that conversation is being recorded. And that's an abuse of liberty. That's an abuse of power. I mean, once it's done, they done made a choice about the decision. That's it. That's it. That's the end of the conversation. Everything is at the grace of the cross, at the foot of the cross. When we leave it there, we move on. We move on. And we don't bring those situations up to get brownie points of how good we are and how good we've been toward people. That's an abuse of our liberty and an abuse of power and authority God gives us as Christians. He says this, and because of that, we get scared. Because of that, we get scared. Because why? People have a freedom to choose. So we try to control situations instead of allowing the spirit of the culture to be freely expressed where people have the freedom of choice. You can't make anyone stay in your church. You can't make anyone stay married to you. You can't make your children when they're adults to obey you, when they made a different decision. That's their choice. And they have to live with the consequences of their choice. But we always have to be at the grace of God that our hearts are open to receive them for correction, direction, protection, and love. If they repent and come back, that we're there to love on them and continue to deal with restoration, to bring healing to the relationship that as a member that you and them share in their fellowship. Okay? So always be ready to restore, to refresh, and to renew people back into relationship. Very, very important. Not to condemn and judge and say, nope, you're gone, bye. No, we've got to be very careful of that. It's abuse of liberty. He said, a fear can be epidemic in supposedly free society. In the United States, the supposed leaders of the free world, free fear is rampant. We as believers need to tap into some pretty powerful stuff if we are going to resist the fear in our culture and extend trust to God in people. He says that we also need to pound heaven value for freedom into our belief system. See, it must become a part of your belief system. If not, you're walking control. This is heavy. This is heavy for Christians to walk in. This is why prayer is necessary, the renewing of our minds constantly necessary in the Word of God, and the call to remembrance, the grace of God extended to us because we once was there. We've done that to other people. We have made decisions, and we want people to treat us with the same kind of kindness that we want to extend to them and that we wanted extended to us. So this is necessary that you walk in grace with your wife and your husband, with your kids, with your co-workers, with your church members, with your pastors with their parishioners. You have to walk in this grace of God. Remember that this culture is a liberated culture. It's a culture of liberty. And the power of freedom of choice operates in this culture. And not the spirit of control. Not the spirit of control. He makes a statement. He says, as Lewis pointed out, the whole value of freedom, the whole purpose for freedom is love. Mark that as number three. The whole value of this freedom is love. Is love. And we have to understand that love is the foundation of Christianity. God is love. And that we're commanded to love you one another. It's a command. Not God is asking us to do something. He said, no, this is a command in this community of the culture of honor that you walk in love. You walk in love. So love is a part of the culture. It's a part of what you and I must constantly walk in every day, whether we're saved or the unsaved, to walk in love, to walk in forgiveness, and extending that to every person on the planet. Not just because people do good toward you, even if people do evil towards you, you must walk in love and grace, even toward them. Amen. Number four, he points out in the very next statement, he says, when we use our freedom to love as intended, our freedom and the freedom of those around us are protected and cultivated. When we walk in love and do not abuse our freedom, the culture, the people surrounding, the people who are connected, worldwide culture, it's not just a local church culture. Understand, this is worldwide. The body of Christ is universal, global. We have to walk in love with all men as much as lies within us. He said it protects and cultivated the culture. People grow when they know they're in a love culture where they're not being controlled or dominated by authority or by leadership. Because that's a freedom of expression, that's a freedom of growth that is in the culture. And so they now know that I have freedom, that even if I err and misstep, this culture of liberty does not condemn me. It really surrounds me with the mercy and the correction and protection that need to be poured into me to protect me, to restore me, to refresh me, to renew me, so I can continue to move in that liberty. See, after you've been a Christian for, let's use this example, you've been a Christian for 10 years, you've been serving God faithfully, you've been doing what God commanded you to do, you've been serving your leadership, and you make a mistake, you make a misstep, we call it a misstep, and you sin some kind of way, you err some kind of way in life, God do not take you all the way back after 10 years of being faithful and he puts you back to the very first day of your Christianity, your born-again experience. So he disqualifies all the good you've done, all the growth you've done. He doesn't disqualify you like that or judge you or put you in that kind of punishment. No, God refreshes you right where you are. He cleanses you. He forgives you in repentance. He says, go. You're free. Go. Do what I told you to do. Obey what I command you to do. But the thing is, we have to free ourselves from condemnation. We have to free ourselves from judgment. Because we can use our own liberty against ourselves and put ourselves in lockdown because we condemn ourselves. Because we made a misstep, we sinned. So now, oh, the worst of the worst can happen to us. God don't love me anymore. God gonna judge me. God gonna condemn me. God gonna punish me. And so we go into this realm of thought that lock ourselves down in condemnation when Romans 1 says that there's now no condemnation to them who walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. For the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus set me free from the spirit of sin and death. So there's no condemnation when I sin with God. But that's God's mercy shows up, God's grace shows up, and then that God is proud that I failed. No, he's not proud of it, but he's made a way of escape through Jesus Christ, who is our advocate. And so therefore, when we repent and ask God for forgiveness, the blood is applied, the sin is forgiven, and we go forward. And we go forward. We don't sit there and hold ourselves in condemnation because of the fall. No, the mercy and the grace have been applied through the blood of Christ, who is our Redeemer. So you have to know that, and so you won't self-condemn yourself and keep yourself out of God's best because you don't think you're good enough to receive God's best blessing on your life. No, God still loves you. He hadn't changed his mind, and he's still going to elevate you because that's his will. That's his will and purpose, and he has not altered it or changed it because you made a mistake or you made a misstep or sin, whether you did it on purpose or not. It's still Christians do not practice sin. We may fall from time to time, but we don't practice that as a lifestyle. So understand, when we use our freedom to love, this is number four, use our freedom to love as intended, our freedom And our freedom and the freedom of those around us are protected and cultivated. That's strengthening. I love it. So as leaders, we need to accomplish many things, from defining reality to teaching productive goals. As leaders, we need to accomplish many things, from defining reality to teaching productive goals. But the priority of heaven is crystal clear. If you have not love, you're just noisy. Okay, I love that. Leaders who extinguish love in the process of teaching goals have achieved earth priorities, maybe, but the highest goal of heaven requires us to cultivate and preserve love through freedom. That's number five. The highest goal of heaven is for us to require us to cultivate and preserve love. That's the highest goal, and thus freedom. Through love, we produce freedom, not condemnation, not judgment, not control. Through love, we do this. And that's what everybody in the church and all Christians have to understand, that the church is a community of freedom. People who are free, people who walk in the spirit of liberty, people who walk in love, even though they're not perfect, from time to time, they're going to make a mistake, a misstep, and we have to learn how to deal with those things when it happens. Because from time to time, we got to deal with issues that happens in the body of Christ. But we have to deal with them with love and mercy, with the spirit of restoration, not the spirit of control. Sometimes we get so fearful that other people are going to do the same thing and other activities like that, until we try to control everybody as cattle being herded into a corral. And so we put everybody in the chute to control them. Sometimes you're going to run into mavericks. You're going to run into that bull, that cow, who do not want to go in that chute, do not want to go in the pasture. He want to go way across the hill. He got his mind focused on seeing what's on the other side. And you try to corral everybody, keep everybody in the corral, called controlling. And the difference between protecting and controlling. Protecting is always done in love, compassion. And if the person chooses to continue to be their choice, whether we look at rebellion or don't want to follow instruction, then so be it. Go learn your lesson. Go learn the lesson. See, the prodigal son, parable of the prodigal son is a very strong lesson for us to learn, because the father of the prodigal son understood that his child wasn't ready even to leave home. He understood that he already knew that his child was not even mature enough to leave home. But at the same place, he was willing to free him, to let him go experience his choice, to discover for himself what he himself could not teach him at home. So sometimes people have to go and experience and learn for themselves what you're trying to tell them, that they're not willing to accept as a truth. And that has to be understood as we go forward. Raising kids, our family, our wives, our marriages, or whatever, it has to be understood that I'm not here to control you. I'm your parent. I'm here to raise you, lead you down the right path, but I'm not here to control you. So if you choose to make a decision, understand the consequences behind your decision. It's something you're going to have to take responsibility for. And that's the way God does us. He gives us the spirit of liberty. We can go forth as Christian. We can walk in obedience, experience all the joy. Or we can choose to do something different and experience the consequences. But the great thing about our Father is he's always there to restore us, to renew us, to refresh us, and to forgive us when we come back. And that was the lesson of the prodigal son. God showing his love that I'm here for you, even though you violated or made a choice to do the opposite of what I trained you to do. But I had to stop loving you because you did. That's key. That is key. Okay? To us having this culture cultivated to grow, for everyone to grow in. So I pray you understand that, because if you're a parent, at some point you got to deal with your children's decision to want to do something different than what the family culture is. And we got to maybe deal with them in grace, so we don't wound them or hurt them until they walk in total rebellion. Don't have nothing to do with the family, want to leave home and don't want to come back, denounce you as their father, as their mother, because of a wound or a hurt, because we dealt with them in a wrong way. Always leave the door open for your children to return. And that's the love of the Father. The door is always open for them to return. God is love. And his kingdom is a kingdom of freedom. The kingdom is a kingdom of freedom. This would be why the Bible tells us the Lord is a spirit. Where the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom or liberty. There's freedom or liberty. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. This is why you and I must operate, because that's the way God has designed it, to be a place of freedom, a kingdom of freedom, a kingdom of liberty, where grace abounds. And so therefore, as men and as leaders, by the grace of God, called to the position to lead people, we have to walk in that spirit, that mind, the mind of Christ. That's what God called us to do. That's how God wants us to walk and how God wants us to live. And we can't do something different. We're trying to control the atmosphere of free people. Remember the first statement that we came out with, number one, there's a high risk to lead free people. It's a high risk to lead free people. And you cannot allow your personal opinion or perspective to interfere into what God's divine will is. But you must come through prayer, through meditation, to understand that God's opinion, God's decision is my decision. I choose God's decision. Regardless of my feelings or emotions like, I choose God's decision. And whatever the king says is to rule, to govern the people of God. It's to rule, to govern the people of God. Let's finish this paragraph, because we will see more evident as we go forward. The verse is saying that when God shows up, people feel free. When God shows up, people feel free. That's why the atmosphere has to always be full of God, so that people can remain in their liberty, not in condemnation, not being controlled, but understand I have a free spirit, and the kingdom that I live in is a free kingdom. Doesn't mean I can do anything I wanted to do, but there's freedom in here, and if I misstep, God will forgive me for that misstep. Let's talk about a thought about rules and regulation, why they are necessary. Rules and regulation, why they are necessary. Rules and regulation are not designed to control you. They are designed to protect you. Put that in your spirit. Rules and regulation are not designed to control me. They're in place to protect me, so I can experience the full benefit of the community, of the culture, without causing harm to myself or anyone else. That is just that clear. Rules and regulations on your job, they're here to protect the environment. Rules and regulations at your home, they're here to protect the environment. Rules and regulations at church, they're there to protect the environment. The environment of liberty, the joy you experience as being a son in this house, a daughter in this family. There are benefits, there are liberties, there are things you get to do. But the rules help to protect you in your liberty to enjoy. That's all it does. My rules are not here to control you or to condemn you. They're here to protect you. And that was God wants to understand about the commandments. The commandment of God to love God with all your heart, your strength, mind, and soul, to love your neighbor as yourself, that is not a restriction. That is a liberation law that God has put, a command that God has put in force, that when we love him with everything, all the benefits and the liberty of the kingdom is yours. The kingdom is yours. When you love your neighbor as yourself, that's the rule that liberates us and keeps the community free from legalism and condemnation. It keeps it in a realm of freedom. He says it's powerful. If that is not happening, we should wonder why. If people feel, for instance, I feel condemned because I missed church today. I feel that I no longer hold office because I missed church today. When people feel that they're being mandatory to make church every Sunday, out of a fear of some punishment or some judgment, then that environment that they're in is the wrong environment. We are creating the wrong environment. We're creating an environment of control and condemnation. Not a realm of liberty and freedom. So we have to understand as leaders that out of a free spirit, people show up every Sunday and participate and become a partaker of whatever the ministry is doing. Out of a free spirit, not out of a condemnation spirit. Not out of a spirit of judgment and punishment, fear of authority. That is not the environment of the kingdom of liberty and freedom. So we have to understand that in every department, if you're a department leader, you have to understand that. Just because the usher didn't show up this Sunday, or the praise team member didn't show up this Sunday, as a leader, you're not to bring a judgment on those people because they didn't show up. Stuff happens. There are times when you're physically worn out and you need a rest. Those things happen. But it shouldn't be to the point where they are fearful not to show up because of what you're going to do. And that's some kind of the spirit that's on these jobs, that you come even when you're sick because you're afraid if I miss the rule of thumb or the control on these jobs, if you don't show up, you know, you're going to fire me. So you show up in all kinds of situations and conditions because of a spirit of fear of loss. That is not the spirit of the church in the kingdom of God. God loves you whether you showed up this Sunday or not. He don't change his love towards you because you missed it. You didn't come to church. And we shouldn't have a rule of thumb over our people to the point that we control them if they don't show up. Got to be some kind of punishment. No, that is not the kingdom of God. We're missing the whole point of the kingdom. So why isn't freedom breaking out in more places? Could it be because a lot of people, including leaders, misunderstand the goal of God's leadership in our lives? It is such a privilege and an honor to lead free people and to lead them in the spirit of liberty and freedom, where they have the power of choice. Not condemnation, not the fear of my leadership, but to understand that if you miss this Sunday, hey, it's fine. The world's not going to end because you missed it, or the sky is not going to fall because you missed it. You didn't come to church today. Understand, you know, we get tired, things happen, and sometimes you need a break to rest. See you next week. Let's keep moving. Let's keep moving forward. Sometimes our expectation of people are so high that we do not realize we're moving in the realm of controlling them. And We become so hurt and disappointed when people don't show up or don't participate in something that we do. And that what causes the spirit of control. Because now you become frustrated, you become angry, you become bitter with them because they didn't show up. Now you're trying to control them or judge them or put a judgment on them, punish them by sitting down, punish them they can't participate in such a thing. Why? Because you are disappointed. Not because they didn't show up, because they disappointed your expectation of what you thought it was going to be like, that they was going to be there. You have to get beyond that stage in leadership to understand that this environment is an environment of freedom. It's the power of choice that the King himself has given us. And no under authority has the control or the power to control that freedom or to dictate our freedom. Protection is one thing, control is another. Until next time, look, God bless you. We look forward to our next class as we move forward across the year. It's been a blessing thus far. Let's stay strong. Let's finish strong. And I'll see you next time. God bless you.